why are you where you are in your marriage? Why are you where you are in your marriage? How did you get here? Whether it be a good place, bad place, in-between place, or a place you can't explain. How did you get here? There's a comment made from the book we've been reading by Craig Rochelle. It's called Winning the War in Your Mind. That was the book we just finished in our reading book club, or that's what I call our book club. And it's the book says, it's called Winning the War in Your Mind. Here's what he said. Our lives always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Say that with me, please. Come on. Our lives always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think shapes what we become. If you're in a place right now in your life, your thoughts took you there. And so the question is, what are you thinking? What's going on in your mind? When you sit alone, it's just you processing. What's going on? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you go by how you feel, you'll be tricked. Your feelings flow and ebb. They come and go. If I went by how I feel, I would never get up here and preach. It's emotional. I promise you. You have to rev up sometimes. I have a little techniques I use to help me because I understand that preaching, especially when you do it as much as I do it, it can in multiple services, it can affect you. For example, a little trick you might find fascinating. If I stand during the worship and whole service, I stand the whole service. So you'll notice I sit down sometimes. I'll sit while you're standing and I'll sing while I'm sitting because I know I'm going to be standing longer than you. How about an amen to that? So that's a thought I have to weigh out. Also, there's emotion when you're preaching. Some people look like they're tired. Some people don't know what you're saying. And you have to press past all of that and say, keep on going, keep on going. Come on, say, keep on going.
Keep on going.
See, you got to keep on going. You can't let that stop you. Public speaking is a very challenging process for a lot of reasons. All the stuff you got to remember, you got to be interesting, and don't let me get, it will bore you. But I don't complain about it. I just simply say it's a challenge sometimes. But my thought process affects it, how I process and how I think. And so I've learned how to push my mind in the right directions. And I've learned that that's true in marriage and in everything. Your thoughts will impact what you become. It will shape all that you are. And I really believe that if you can come to a place where you think right, you'll feel better and do better. Now, there are three questions I want you to ponder when we start talking about your marriage. Just to consider, who are you listening to? Who's advising you? What are their credentials? I mean, do they really have a knowledge of marriage that's personal and real, informed? Did you fire your main advisors because they challenged you? The people that would talk to you and say, no, that's wrong. Do you have anybody in your life that can stop you, a stopper, and say, you can't talk to her that way. You can't treat him that way. And then do you have the ability to communicate your thoughts? Critical thinking is so important. Oh, my goodness, critical thinking. Processing it, thinking it through. And this can sound a little bit arrogant. I don't mean it to be because people with educations get divorced, uneducated. But I understand. So I'm not making some academic statement. But sometimes we don't understand each other. That's why we need a third person to translate. Our processing is off. When I hear Diane say certain things, it means things to me that it doesn't mean to her. I've been wrong more than once, twice, or 10 times. Because I didn't hear her right. Some relationships become difficult when one or both parties cannot communicate their feelings successfully. Sometimes you just need to learn how to talk better, hear better, think better. I know you feel what you feel, but if you live by that, you're going to lose a lot of wars. So let me give you some reasons why I think some relationships are in a bad place. Let me start with that. And then I'll talk about why some people are afraid to leave certain relationships. We'll talk about that too. So I'm going to surprise you a little bit today. Let's start with why some relationships, marriages are in a bad place. Number one, because they refuse to change. Come on, say that with me, please. They refuse to change. If you take the position that I'm right and how I see it and feel and think about it, and I'm not changing, there's no hope for you. Because you're right. You're all-knowing. You're right. I read a story in John Jonah chapter 3, and it's really powerful. I want you to hear this conversation. God sends Jonah to Nineveh. The goal is to get Nineveh to realize how sinful they are. And said this, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. This is, of course, remember the story. He wouldn't go, and then God, he went in the whale, and after the whale experience, God, he said, okay, I'll go preach to them, because he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. So God put a whale swallowed him, and he said, okay, I'll go tell them what you said, because I hate the Ninevites, but I'm going to go tell them what you said. So in chapter 3, the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now Jonah's going to go. He's got a second chance. Okay, Jonah, you wouldn't go the first time. Now let's go. Jonah says, I'm going. He said, go to the city of Nineveh, proclaimed to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed. The word of the Lord went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very great, large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Wow. They repented. They heard him. They believed. Shocking. Now, what's amazing is, verse 6 says, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation issued in Nineveh by the decree of the king. This is verse 7. And his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat and drink. Verse 8. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and will with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Last verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he threatened. This is a great story. Watch this. Number one, Jonah changed his mind, went and preached finally what God told him to preach. The king quickly changed when he heard what Jonah said. The king issued a declaration. The king quickly called everyone to a fast, and everybody's forgiven. Amazing. If you read on in the story, Jonah's furious. Now, why is he furious? Because he didn't want God to forgive them. And so in chapter 4, you hear this dialogue between him and God. And it's because I knew you were going to do that, God. I knew you were going to forgive these people. And he was furious. Here's a guy who showed in his life a refusal to change. When Jonah was first on the boat in Jonah chapter 1, And they were in the boat, and he was trying to run away from God because he didn't want to go preach to these Ninevites because he felt God was going to forgive them, and he hates those kind of people, and he wasn't going to go, and no matter what God said. So he gets on the boat, tries to run away, and the boat gets into the weather, and the weather starts to toss the boat, and the guys say, call upon your God. And Jonah said, well, I know why we're going through this, because of me. And they said, well, why would you do that if you know you serve the real God? We serve a phony God. You serve the real God. Why would you do this? He says, well, I don't want to go talk to those Ninevites. And so Jonah sits there, and it's like, well, the only way you're going to get out of this storm is you throw me overboard, and I'm not jumping. You ever know somebody, they know they're messing up everything, but they won't stop. So now you get to the end of the story. Jonah in chapter 4 preaches to them. They repent, and surely he gets mad. And in chapter 4, here's what you'll notice. He never repents. God tries to talk to him, tries to reason with him, but he refuses to change. Are you like that? You have made up your mind what you will and will not do. So be it. So be it. That's what you've decided. And God has given us the power to make that decision. Adam and Eve decided in the garden to eat the fruit. They walked by it a few times. Sure looked good. All they needed was a push, and they bit the fruit. We talk about Adam and Eve, but we've been biting fruit ever since, making the same kind of decisions. It was pleasing, the Bible said, to the eye. It looked good. It felt good to them. So they did it. We walk by faith, not by our feeling. We walk by what? Faith, not by
sight.
In marriage, I promise you, you will walk by what?
Faith
and not by sight. In marriage, sometimes you are the guilty person, and you need to say it. Yes, I did do that. Yes, I am the one who cusses you out the most. Yes, I am the one who gets, and I do hold a grudge. Yes, I am. Yes, it's me. It's me, it's me, it's
me.
There you go. Standing in the need of prayer. Yeah. It's not always the other person. Sometimes it's both of you. You've not learned how to manage. But there are Jonah moments when a person refuses to change. And sometimes it's both individuals. So that's the first reason why some marriages have trouble. Number two, they have trouble because they don't try hard enough. I'm sorry. It's hard work to get a degree. I is graduating. But I promise you, if you try to go get one, you will see. It's pages and pages and pages and pages. It's a lot of work. 5 years, 3 years of coursework, 2 years of writing, and a year of waiting to get them to review my work. Good God Almighty. I'm not making that up. And a whole lot of money. Now, I'm saying all that to say, if you want it, you're willing to pay the price for it. Why did I do it? For a reason. It's not easy. Being a pastor is not easy. Being a father is not easy. Owning a home is not
easy.
Fixing stuff is not
easy.
It's costly. It's not easy. There are things in life that are not easy. So I want to be clear. It's not. Here's the verse for you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way, road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. Most people take the broad road. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few people find it. Only a few people find it. If you get past 7 to 10 years in your marriage, you have already broken records. Because most people don't. Most people struggle at certain stages. It's fine when you're at, you know, I call it level 1, 2, and 3, kissing, hugging, and sex. That's fun on the beginning. But once you get past level 1 and 2, now it becomes a responsibility. Now it becomes something you have to deal with every day. Now it's not just the passing moment. Single life is great in many ways, but it's very isolating. You don't have to share as much. You don't have to deal with the opinions of other people. You don't have to talk about money together. It's just you. Should I spend or not spend? You talk to yourself. It's fine. But when you get married, there are conversations. I bought a new car. You got in the lot. You can see it. It's nice. Ooh, it is. And so when I got ready to buy it, you know, and I have my reasons. I think they're smart reasons. I do. I do. I really do. You want to know what they are? We ain't got time. But one thing that's powerful is, in this conversation, if I'm by myself, I don't have to participate. I work hard. I work hard. I can get what I want to get. My credit score is 850. I don't have to ask anybody. I want to get something. But gee, I worked all these years. I've been passing for 43 years. I can, you know what I'm saying? I can start whipping out my credentials. But I'm married. So we got to have a conversation. And Diane don't want to buy anything. Let me be clear. Diane don't want to buy anything. What did I say she don't want to buy?
Anything.
Nothing. It's never a good reason for her. Under no conditions. You can't name one. She would keep that car and drive it until the wheels fell off. That's Diane. She is cheap, tight. Did I say cheap and tight? She is. On some things, she's not, no. She in here? Where's she at? Okay, I can talk freely. Oh, you back here? Hey, baby. No, anyway, I thought she's gone. I was going to really let the spirit out, really let it go, you know. But I'm telling you, you know, but what's powerful is, you know, now then you get into this stuff. If you're not careful, you start, well, you got your stuff. Why can't I have my stuff? And so you short circuit a true conversation. The question is it wise? Can we make it work? Is it in the budget? What's your time frame to pay it off? You know what I'm saying? What's the goal? What's the time frame for me, 36 months or less? What's the plan? What's, I tell you all my business, I know. But, you know, what's the plan? What's the goal? I work out all the deal. You drive it off the lot, you lose 10%. You know, I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I got my little formula that I use. But what's powerful is, here's what she said. As long as my house is fine and the world is fine, we can save you fine. And it makes sense. She said, I'm supportive. So she went with me. And she sat there through the whole thing. And she was there, and I felt really supported. And I enjoyed it. I felt good. I felt, see, now, but some of you sneaking in a car, drive up in the cars in the lot, see? Drive up in there, here go the car. What's that? Is that a rental car? No, that's mine. Just bought it. Now, whether you can afford it or not, the problem is we are what? Married. We're married. The broad road, people on the broad gate, they do that. People on that broad road. But those who understand the power of accountability and the value of it. But see, here's the deal. What she can do wrong is pick on me. Make me feel like I'm poor. I've told her that a time or two. Now you make me feel poor, baby. I ain't poor now. I was, but I ain't. Not. And she like to say we was. She don't say poor, she say poor. I hate when she says that. We were poor. We was not poor. We was financially struggling and moving toward our goals. That's what we were doing. I can't talk like that. I can't. It discourages me. I'll get defeated. I'll feel bad about me. And y'all need a warrior who's feeling bad about himself. That's why I love that book, you know, The Millionaire Next Door. Never say you can't afford something. Say, we'll work on that. We're coming toward that. And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll talk each other out of your dreams. And that happens on her side and my side. On my side, I can simply say, on them cruises, I ain't paying all that money to go on no boat for a few minutes. You can just go look at the water. We go to the ocean, look at the river. There are a lot of things that I wouldn't, you see, you pick on each other. And here's what you do. You kill the dream in your spouse. You by yourself with your doubt and unbelief and struggle. What if they can't afford it? Okay, that's a conversation. That's a conversation. She said something. I told her. She said, you are a hardworking brother. There you go. My checkbook can't afford this. If it couldn't, it's fair to say I'm not paying for that. It's fair. It's fair to some degree. Let me flip it. Can I flip it? She wanted something. She wanted a car. And she told me, I'm giving you a 10-year warning. Now see, is that fair? Why is it fair? How are you going to say it's fair for me? Now we got it. We got it on our 50th birthday. But here's my point. Notice how important it was for me to at least care about her dream. It's important for me if I have the ability to help that dream come true. But what if I didn't? Here's what I love about her. She don't ask me to do things that I can't do. She's sensitive to my abilities and limits and boundaries. And every man has a limit. Every woman has a limit. And if you're not careful in your marriage, you'll either kill the dream, won't be fair with the prosperity, you will make the person feel poor, even when you're prospering. And so it's all about balance. And few people find that balance. You'll end up like most couples, at war over money, at war over things that if you were to pause and say, let's do what other couples don't do. Can we say this with you, please? Say, let's be different.
Let's be different.
That's the key. Let's be different. Now, some people, when they got married, they came into marriage with a very narrow view. I call it a narrow reason for getting married. And this affects them. Here are a list of them. Some just want a companionship. They didn't really want a spouse. They just want somebody to be in the house because they don't like being by themselves. So if somebody broke in, they say, go down there and check and see who that is. You go get killed, I'll call the police if something happens. I hear you screaming. I had a person, I was in the counseling session, and somebody said that. She said, I just wanted companionship. He said, you should have got a puppy or something. Because that's what some people want. They really don't want a marriage. Some wanted public validation and status. That's why they got married. They wanted to say, I'm married. It's my husband. It's my wife. They like saying that. Some wanted a spiritual license to have sex. Pause. Some said, nah, we just went on and did it anyway. That's true for most. I didn't grow up in a culture that taught me that having sex before marriage was wrong. So it was a real shocker to me when I came to Jesus and they said, you can't. I said, oh, really? That in the Bible? Why is that? It's love, isn't it? So some people, I know a lot of people got married when they came to church, came to Christ. They didn't necessarily like the person. And they felt guilty of having sex. And they wanted to get a license. So to have a sex license, they got married. And then they found out that they needed more than a license to have a good life. Some just wanted children. When they got children, they didn't care about the person anymore. And they'll tell you, I love my children, not you. Seen that a lot. Some just wanted economic and physical security. I just wanted a house, place to stay. I wanted to stay the paycheck. You know I'm telling the truth, ladies. Come on. Now, some guys, too. We, if we're not careful, that's what we like about marriage, the security of it. And if we don't have that, we should struggle with that, too. Some never plan to honestly communicate and be transparent. That was never their goal. Never. They didn't get married to share openly and honestly. Some never plan to be responsible for the other person's needs. They don't believe that's my responsibility. That's yours. You want a car, you get it. You got student loan debt, you pay it all off. You just your school. You went to school. I didn't go to school. Those are your issues. Your bills, your house, my house. Your children, my children. See, everything's all divided up. No wonder. And then there are those who are in a relationship that's really toxic. Now, this is scary to talk about because some of you are looking for a reason to get out. So let me say, I'm not trying to give you a reason, but I want to just say this because I want to be fair in the conversation. Some feel that leaving the relationship, no matter how bad it is sinful. No matter how much abuse is going on, that somehow God wants you to stay there and get beat up every day, that's his will. That adultery is fine. They can cheat all they want. They can do what they want. Doesn't matter. Now, it's going to bother me. Wait, where are you going, Pastor Rick? I'm telling the truth. Some people are struggling with that are listening to me right now. Some believe that talking is hopeless. It seems like we live in this cycle of conversation. It never, ever is going to get better. And you're just really confused about what to do. Some feel like counsel is biased, and nobody really understands your side. So you feel trapped. See, I told you it surprised you a little bit. What do you do with that? Get honest. I believe difficult moments can be good moments because it brings to the surface how you really feel. And I have to be aware of what I caused Diane to feel. Right or wrong, I may not mean to, but if I make her feel trapped, if I make her feel that she'll never get the car she wants, she'll never have the trip she wants, she'll never go on a cruise, she'll never go on a, she'll never, 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 never. I'm a pastor, dude. I got a lot of excuses. I can always be gone. I'm going to minister for God. I'm going to preach the word of God all over the world. And a lot of guys do this stuff. A lot of women do it. And I watch them. I mentor a lot of successful leaders. And one of the things I often say is, you can give a person a reason. You can feed into this, and they'll stay with you because it feels sinful, and they'll stay with you because but they feel hopeless. Talking is hopeless. We live in the same spot. It's a circle. Going to counsel is, listen, everybody's going to say, I'm wrong. See? What are you going to do with this, Pastor Rick? I'm just telling the truth. Because you can have this wonderful Holy Spirit conversation about marriage in here today. And you can also, oh boy, what a great sermon. But if I don't get you to think with me and establish new boundaries and a new way to do this, it's just a conversation. It's not life-changing. Why have I never wanted to leave Diane? Why in 43 years I have never once contemplated a divorce or even talked about it? Why have we survived? Because we don't do certain things. Because we don't talk certain ways. We made a vow to each other. We ain't perfect. I want you to hear me. I'm not trying to play that game. But you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you can change this direction. I know marriage is tough. I've been married 43 years. I know what it can be. I can get mad and I can hold a grudge. Don't play with me. I'm telling you right now, I know Ricky Temple. God is working on my life. Because if I write you off, you is written off the page. I can hire you and I can fire you. I say that humbly with humility and grace. I am not the one who don't mind. I do fight too. Ain't no need to lie. Can I tell you the truth? Come on, say amen. You see, I got security. You know, I ain't playing. That's why they've been talking about me for years. You got people with guns in church. I sure do. I mean, what I say, I want you to be safe. I ain't playing no games. I'm not lying to you. I'm not threatening anybody. Go, please don't take it wrong. Don't send me no emails. Don't say nothing to me. I'm not. I'm just saying. I told God I wanted to be married. I told God I want his best. I told God I was serious. I told God this is the one for me. Is she perfect? No. There are things about her to get on my last nerve today. Today. She picks on me sometimes. She pokes at me sometimes. She a trip. Y'all saw me run up here and I said, hey, don't say it from the club now. Don't say the club. She'll say it. How many of y'all? Yeah, they will. She's good people, though. I get on her last nerve. Why? I don't know. It's an issue she got. It's impossible to marry anybody that doesn't challenge you. It's impossible to have a perfect child. It's impossible to have a perfect job. It's impossible to have a perfect friendship. It's impossible. Life is full of challenges and difficulties. But you know what you do if you're not careful? When you get in those cloudy moments, you forget the good things that you saw in the beginning. You forget the potential you had beyond your feelings. So your feelings have changed before, right? Over and over again, right? You like your car, you don't like your car. You like your house, you don't like your house. You've been there. You like yourself, you don't like yourself. You forget the potential. You forget the impact that ending your relationship would have on those around you. You forget. Man, my daughter looked at me. She said, you know, Dad, if you did some of the things that I've seen some preachers do, I don't know what I'd do. I've counseled those kids. I've seen when the marriages fall apart. And some of you are victims of that. They question themselves. What did we do wrong? You get lost in your little issues and you forget everything around you. My name is Ricky Temple. I'm honored to pastor several thousand people, and I'm honored to be known in a lot of different arenas. I've had scores of people tell me, if you and Diane did not make it, it would have a tremendous impact on us. We climb up on you. You're not just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for all the people around you. Nieces, nephews, cousins, uncles. All those people around you. But are miserable. Okay. Well, let me give you the fourth thought. The promised land you dream of will always have giants. You can go marry somebody else. You can leave. You can do what you want to do. But you will always have giants. You will always have giants. The pretty girl with the curly hair, she got giants too, trust me. One of her toes is crooked too, I promise you. I promise you, you'll find something. I promise you, it doesn't matter who he is. I don't care how good they look. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what kind of house they live in. I don't care what kind of life you're going to have. I want somebody to give me a better life. Or you get a better life and you still be crazy. Don't matter. I know about better life. I know about flying first class and having a little bit of money in the bank. I know about all that stuff. And I'm telling you, you can have all. If you don't believe, look at the celebrities. What in the world are they doing? They got money. They got millions of dollars. And they done married 5, 15, 20, 30 people. It's amazing how you see that it doesn't solve your problem. Promised land has giants. But you forget the message you preach. Acts 1 and 8, I'll give you power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Now I'm going to say this to you. I wish it was easy. I wish I could tell you that you could pray one prayer and it will never be a challenge again. But here's what I believe happens. When you immerse yourself in the Holy Spirit, and you yield your heart to God, and you bring your brokenness to Him, and you say, I can't fix this. I can't make it perfect. And Pastor Rick can't, in 37 minutes, turn my whole life around by himself. But he can push me in a direction. You see, the secret to my marriage survival is my immersion in worship. It's allowing him to change my mind. It's allowing him to lift my heart. I want you to just lift your hand for just a moment. Just lift your heart. Lift your heart. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. That's where it is, right there. That's where the power is, right there. That's where the healing is, right there. You can go to counseling all you want. It's a good thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you finish going to counseling, come out with your hands lifted. Come on. Just lift your hands. You designed marriage, God. The issues are the issues. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction, but few there be who find the narrow gate. Father, we come believing that you make the difference. You make the difference. You make the difference. The difference. In Jesus' name. Can I obey God? Y'all know I'm time conscious, right? I am. Say amen if you know I am. I need a little more time, just a little bit. I need you to ask me, I want you to say what I said today that spoke to you the most. Just what I said today. Start with that. If you're online, type it in the chat, and they're going to tell me what I said today that spoke to you the most. See, I can go on. I have a lot of material. I can go on for another whole hour. I told you, get the notes. I outlined them for you, the book on boundaries. I need to believe. The Bible said the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, not me. That's what gets you in trouble. You think one more message, 10 more minutes, 30 more minutes. That's why preachers go long. I didn't get what I wanted, so I got to go longer. No. I'm going to give you some homework. Gave you a book to read. Now I want you to tell me, what did I say that spoke to you? Raise your hand. They're going to come to you with a microphone just so we can hear in the audience and hear. Tell me what one thing I said that spoke to you the most. Up front here. Can I get another hand so they can see where they're going? So raise your hand. What I said that spoke to you the most? Yes.
I must be willing to change.
Yeah, good. Somebody else. Something simple like that. What spoke to you? What did I say? Right there, back. Okay, right there. So, then behind you.
I think one of the greatest things you said this morning, Pastor, was that it's important that we, us who were fortunate to have children, is that we be mindful of our relationship with our wives or spouses, because one day if we live long enough, the children will leave, and then the question comes up, what's next?
Yeah, exactly. Behind you, Demont, there's one right behind you. He had his hand up first. Anybody else got a mic? We got more than one mic on the floor? Okay, come over here and let him see you. Go find me a person over there. Go ahead, yes.
I say spending money without having a conversation with your spouse. Mm-hmm.
It's easy because you work hard. You feel like I could, you know, it's my money. I want to do what I want to do. But I think there's something about companionship, but not making it a hard conversation. I want to buy some bubble gum. Well, why you want to buy something? You bought something last week. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's got to be fair. You got to make it fair. Yes, over here.
I was just going to say, have a conversation, not about necessarily money, but about anything and everything.
Yeah, need to talk. Diane and I have done a lot of talking lately. We've had a lot of conversation. I slowed down a lot just to hear and talk to her. We did this morning. We talked for about an hour before we came out. It was something about that moment of just sharing thoughts and ideas. Yes.
So being mindful of who you're allowing to pour into your relationship, are they qualified? Not based on your relationship with them, but is that, you know, sound advice?
I think so. I think it's amazing who people listen to. Very good. Somebody else, what did I say? Raise your hand high so they can see you. They're all here. We've got all this section here. And then anybody else, raise your hand so they can see where to bring a mic to. And if you're home, type in the chat. We got some online? What we got online, Sheila? I'm sorry, next. Go ahead. Grab that mic right there, Sheila Bishop.
That the promised land has giants as well.
It does. Our marriage, if you got close up on our marriage, you would see giants. Communication gaps, moments of tension, moments of awkwardness. What's really powerful is to watch Christina describe how she's seen us navigate those moments. And how we work through it together. And she says, I see the healthy way you respond to that. Sometimes she told her mama, and Diane said this to me the other day, so that's how men talk? How you take that? How you deal with that? Child. You know what I would say? That's how women talk. How you deal with it? Hold on, bro. Just be quiet. Where we at? Who got mics? Where we at?
Online, Pastor, we have.
Okay, well, we got online, yes.
The thing that spoke to them the most, there are giants in the promised land. And another said that, you said, I'm not alone in this. And to be honest about where you are and the impact that you have on the people around your family, your friends, and your community, that you're not just fighting for your relationship, but for all those that are connected to
you. Wow, that's so true. Okay, where are we at? Here, yes.
You said so many things, sir, that just blessed me. That was one of the comments I wanted to say, too, about it's just not about me and my husband, about all the people that we could possibly impact in our relationship. But also, too, I think sometimes as mothers, we love our children so much, we want to train our husbands, but love our children. Instead of we need to train our children and love our husbands. And I remember even as a little young mom, my kids were little, and I was so in love with them. And I should say, he'll be all right. He'll grow a man. He can take care of himself. I got to love on them first. And I got convicted by that. And putting my kids first, because they're so little, and but they're going to leave. My kids are gone now. And now it's just me and him.
By the way, he's doing this if you can't see him. Okay, he's over there going like this. Yes, they're gone now.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and they've taken his money with them, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, they've taken his money. But, you know, that's just so powerful what you're saying. You know, our kids will leave us. And before we know, we don't know our spouse. And having to change our mindset sometimes as mom is, you know, I can't train my husband. He's going to be who he's going to be, and pray God that he helped me to be the best wife that I can be.
That is, you didn't write a book on that, Rayon. That's really powerful. I have never heard it put like that. And coming from a woman, I can't say that, but you can write a book on that, yeah. Somebody else, where we at? Right here?
Setting boundaries. Understanding you're not going to say certain things. This is, you know, setting limits to how you're going to respond to challenges.
Yeah, somebody else, yes. Right here, and then where are we at on this side? Okay, yes, go ahead.
Biggest thing I got was just realizing how what I say makes her feel and how what she says makes me feel. It's so important that we realize our words have power, a lot of power. So I have to be careful, especially with this one, you know, to make sure what I say doesn't affect both of them and how I say it. So that's really important the way you put that.
I'm going to tell you something funny. When I got my car, right, we were driving home with the car, and she says, "You're a hardworking man. You deserve it." And I was, you know, late on that evening, I was thinking about what she said, you know. See, that's like something you save in the refrigerator, you bring it out and chew on it a little bit. Yeah, hardworking man. So I said, "Diane, I want to thank you for that compliment. You told me I was a hardworking man." Then I waited for the pause. She didn't say nothing. I said, "No, that means say it again. I need to hear that one more time. Was, come on, repeat. She said, "You know you're a hardworking guy, but no, it's powerful coming from your mouth to my ears. Just like when you look at your wife and you say, you're good people. I like you. I appreciate you." It means something. Nobody else can say it like you can say it. Nobody else can do it like you can do it. Who else has a mic? Now, let me see how many I got. I got one, got two, got three. Anybody else? Three? Going. Diane's going to be four. She get the final word. All right, where are we at? One here, and then go ahead, right there. Then we're going to go this way. One, two, three, and Diane's four. Yes, go ahead.
And I think another thing that you said, I feel, is very important, that you respect your spouse. You got to respect each other, and you got to communicate openly and compliment each other. You know, when your husband does something well, like your wife said, you're a hard worker, tell your spouse, you know, and tell each other that you love them. You know, I think that's very important to share your feelings.
We always say the worst and not the best. And sometimes that's all they need. I've messed up a time or two or three or four when I tended to start with what was wrong. And I'm learning more about that. That's good. Somebody else, where's number two at? Over here. Ma? Yes, sir.
The biggest thing I got was the part where you said, like, even unintentionally, like, being so focused on stability that I deaden her wants and the things that she's...
Because
I'd be quick to be like, "Oh, no, we can't do that." Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that one got me.
You kill the dream before it starts.
Easy.
And it's in the name of being frugal. Yeah. Go for it, sir.
Laying all your cards on the table and having a fair conversation and not killing your spouse's dreams.
Yeah. I'm ashamed that I don't have sometimes. Laying it on the table, it means getting naked. That's what the Garden of Eden was so much about. People forget it. You know, they didn't have any clothes on. God was saying, "I want you to have a relationship where there's nothing hidden." That's how you get in trouble, because you keep hiding stuff. And so it builds up in you. You know what I mean? And there's something about that transparent moment where you feel so good. You know, I'm not kidding, man. There's something about doing business in a way where you feel good about yourself. You know, I went in there to buy a car. I'm telling you the truth. I went there. I said, "Oh, my credit score 850. You can go ahead and check how you want. Check it every day. No, I'm going to do this. I hit the deal I want." I'm telling you, there's something about, and if I don't like the deal, that's okay. I'll prepay and I'll get over you. And interest don't bother me. You know, you feel good. You feel whole, confident. Some of the tension you folks have is because you're ashamed. And you're struggling. And you've got to help each other. You got to put your arm around that woman that doesn't feel good about her body. And stop making them little sassy comments. You got to put your arm around that brother who feels insecure and struggling. "You a man. Man up." "Hey, girl. My wife has never told me to man up. My wife has never called me out of my name. My wife has never cussed at me. She ain't perfect, but I'm just saying, never, I can go through some nevers. I have never. Some of us do things, say things, even in anger, that leaves deposited in a person a toxic flower of grief. And every time they try to get past it, they look back and see that tree. Y'all need to chop that tree down together and plant new harvest in your marriage and vow to never say those things again, do those things again, and watch God give you redemption. Come on, amen. I believe that. Diane, I think, that's four, right? That's everybody?
And there was one online. Angela online says, Pastor, I have a question. Are you going to do this again? Please do.
I promise you I will. I promise you I will. And read the book. It's going to start with this book on boundaries. I'm going to do something online, and I'm going to do something in person too. And they'll tell me we have 12 of these a year, and we'll pick another two or three of these to do this kind of thing with the married folks. Is that all right with you? All right, good. Diane, come on up here, would you please? I would let you say it offline, but I want them to see your face when you say what you're going to say. Because you get the final word. We're going home. We're done. You're the last voice. You want to comment on something?
Yeah, someone said online that silencing your spouse's dream with doubting words was so profound.
Silencing your spouse's dream with doubting words.
Yeah. Yep, you don't silence my dream. You let me cruise as much as I want to cruise.
Yeah, it's true. And they all paid for, thank God. Amen. She got one for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this year. She does. They're all
and
paid.
And ladies, I have a philosophy that, you know, if it's something that I really, really want, instead of always asking him to, okay, make it happen. God bless me with a mind and an income and smarts. I need to make it happen. I need to help make it happen. So there are quite a few trips that I say, you know, I got it. He say, you what? I said, I'm paying for it.
Shocked
me. It's paid.
Thank you. I'm going then. Praise God.
I may not shop for things, but I'll show shop for a trip. So it's paid for, darling.
And that's another conversation we can have another time, you know, because some of you want things, but you're not willing to position yourself to get them. And there is a price tag that comes when you're not unified in a common direction. And it's been painful for me, but I'm sorry, I'm not closing. You get what did I say that spoke to you the most? We got to get out of here.
Like Ron said, it was just so many different things. But I just am just so grateful that I'm married to a person who's just sensitive to God. That, you know, that I can. I came out of a family where everybody was divorced. Marriage was a drama, you know, domestic violence, all sorts of things. And so, but I said, God, I'm going to trust you with my heart. And I'm going to trust the God in this man, you know, and I'm going to give this man my heart. And there are so many things. I'm just so grateful. And sometimes I just told God just the other day, okay, you put the mic in my hand, right?
Hold tight for a second. What she said when you say this, go get Christina for me. I want Christina.
I think she's with her teenagers.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she's doing a teen session.
I hate to snatch her out. Take her place for me, Devon. He good with kids.
Corey got him. I actually, yeah, it don't need to be Devon. We need Corey. We even know Corey. Devon is a university college instructor.
All right, everybody, sit still. We're going to have a minute of instruction here.
Those are middle schools and high schools.
But I did
tell God, I said, well, God, sometimes when I feel like he's not listening to me, because I'll tell him, man, you didn't even study me. Did you even hear what I said? You know, but I told God, I said, even during moments when I feel like you're not listening to me, that I'm grateful that you listen to God. So I'll just say, God, could you please, whatever, you know, God will speak to you or God will re-rack me. So, grateful.
The reason I wanted Christina to comment, I'm snatching her out of a session. I don't know where she is in the lesson, but I'm snatching her out because I want a witness. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a word be established. There's something about tension. I know somebody that could probably give you a snapshot idea. Is she coming now? I think they got her.
Yeah,
good. All right, sorry. I know I'm sorry. Come, run quick. I apologize. You're teaching, right? Corey switched out with you?
Yes.
That's good. Come on. Okay, good. Come on. All right. Answer a question. You ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen us have tension before?
Yes.
Yes. Because I don't want people to leave here thinking that we're perfect, all right? So how do, what does it normally look, sound like? Who's, don't, not, you're not talking about who's to blame or anything, but this, how does it normally go?
Most of the time it's a misunderstanding in regards to communication. So you may feel a certain type of way, she may feel a certain type of way. I know one, can I give them an example? An example
is.
It's a safe one. So. A lot of times in relationships, you feel like you have everything in common and you're so alike. My mom always says that me and your dad are different. Like, we are different. We have things that, you know, we see eye to eye on, but as far as their personalities, their definitions, sometimes it could be completely different. While he, on the other hand, is like, we're not different. We're the same. Like, why would you tell people that we're different? That we, you know, process things a little bit differently. And she's like, no, Rick, we are different. And he's like, but we're not different. We are the same. Like, so that's a simple one. That's on the lighter end of the spectrum. But and when it comes to little things like
see, they won't know the heavy stuff, no light stuff.
No.
Because what I'm saying, what I'm saying is we're not as different as she says we are. That's all I'm saying.
We are night and day different.
And that's what she says, and this is exactly how it goes. But I think it goes into everything that you may have shared is that, you know, there are different times where you may see things differently, but one thing that I love that you've always said is that you desire to respond in a way that honors God. And so when people ask you, how do you keep your relationship so strong? Mom is quick to say Jesus. But I think it's because you guys have both made an intentional decision to what does the word of God say and honor God. I hear her talking and saying things. I'm asking like, oh gosh, how do you deal with that? Like, how did you navigate that? She's like, I just believe in honoring what the word of God says. And same thing for you. And so that's my take outside looking in, is that they've made a decision. It's not because they're the same person, they get along all day every day. It's because they've made an intentional decision to honor what does the word of God say. So
fair enough. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your check will be in the mail. You got an increase.
No,
right there.
She already got a check, praise God. All that tuition, that's all right. Man, did I get everybody online? I got everything? Did I? I want to make sure. Was there something online that I didn't say? Somebody, I want to make sure they're not forgotten about. You know, I want to thank you for being with us online and in person today. You gave me a good bit of extra time, and I thank you for it because I never want to not appreciate your time. And I really pray that what we've said has helped you. I'll be up here to mingle around a little bit later. If you want to talk to me, and you say, our relationship needs a conversation, pastor@overcomingbyfaith.org. What's my email? pastor@overcomingbyfaith.org. I'll work it out. We'll try to work it out. If you say, no, this is good, Pastor Rick, but I got a couple of questions. I'd like to have a little quick dialogue. I'd love to talk to you. You know, I'll just leave it there, and we'll let the Holy Spirit.